tonight. We begin another of our annual installment of the series, Ask the Pastor. And I'm thankful for those that have already sent in their questions, that we can develop some of these thoughts and considerations together. I always find the series to be an exciting challenge for me. Number one, I never know what kind of questions I'm going to get. And there's always one or two people that ask questions that always make me go, that's going to take a while. But it's good. I enjoy the challenge that it brings and looking forward to being able to answer the questions that you ask. And beginning tonight, we're going to take the time to look at the first question that was posed to me. And I trust that you'll find the study to be as interesting as I did. Our first question is going to deal with the thought of worship and why we worship when we worship. Before we do that, though, let's bow together in a word of prayer, then we'll take up our study tonight. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to come and study together your word, and Lord, the questions that come to us, and Lord, we realize that your word gives us the answers. And Father, I pray tonight that we would see the wonderful blessing that is there when we come to the word of God and seek truth, that we might understand the questions as they're asked. And Father, I pray that we would also see the beautiful design that you have put in your word. And Lord, I pray that you would guide us and direct us tonight through this study. In Jesus' name, amen. As we begin tonight, I want you to look with me at the question under consideration. This is the first in our series, and it's a good question, and I'm thankful for it. The question is simply this: if we are to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy, why do we worship on Sunday and not on Saturday? So the question is, God's word in the Ten Commandments says that we are to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. Why do we not then meet on Saturday? There are denominations that worship still on Saturday. Seventh-day Adventists will worship on Saturday. I don't think that they are correct in much of their doctrine, but the reality is they still believe in the Sabbath of Saturday, and therefore that's when they worship. Did you know that there are actually Seventh-day Baptists? There are some who still believe that they are under the restriction and the requirement that they are to worship on Saturday. So why do we worship on Sunday, not Saturday, when the Word of God says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy? Now, perhaps you've never thought about that kind of thing before, or maybe you have considered it and thought, well, I think I have a pretty simple answer. But within Christianity, we recognize that we live in an era that is completely different than what the Jews lived in the days of the Ten Commandments and when they were given. And therefore, we would say that we believe that we are no longer under their law. So therefore, we don't have to worship on Saturday. We can choose to worship on Sunday. But I think we have to be careful when we come to a question like this, not to simply brush it under the rug and say, well, we're not under the law. Now, some people want to go there. That's a quick, simple answer. Now, I think it's true, we're not under the law. But I think we need to answer the question fully, not brush this one under the rug. You say, Pastor, why would you say that? Why would we brush just one of the Ten Commandments under the rug, but we feel very much like the other nine still exist? Why? Because that's the moral law of God, right? Do you think it's right? Are we okay to say that it's still acceptable for us within the church to have idols? Would you be okay if we had a statue of Jesus up with on the cross still? And people were bowed to the relics? No, but that's Old Testament. That's under the law. Are children still supposed to honor their mom and their dad? Are they still under the law to still honor their parents? Is it still wrong to steal? Is it still a sin to commit adultery? See, we can't just sweep the Ten Commandments under the rug and say, it's under the law. Now we're under grace. Now, there's truth there, but there's a greater answer to the question, why don't we worship on Saturday? Why worship on Sunday? In order to answer that question, I want to begin by, first of all, understanding the Sabbath. Now, I don't claim to be a Jewish scholar, but I do understand a few things about the Sabbath as we come and we study it from the Word of God. And so I want you to understand with me what the Sabbath is and why God gave that requirement for the Jews to worship and to set apart that day, the Sabbath. So let's talk about the Sabbath for a few moments tonight. I want to give you a couple things. First of all, I want you to understand what the word means. The word Sabbath is a Hebrew verb, and it simply means to cease or to rest. The Sabbath was a day to cease from work, to cease from labors. It was a day designed by God for God's people to rest and not to labor. And God reminds them that on 6 days He created heaven and earth. And on the seventh day, He rested. The Sabbath was to be a day of rest. And as we try to understand the commandments of the Sabbath, there are two key passages that you need to have in mind, because it gives us some understanding of what God required of the Jews of the Sabbath. And those two passages, first of all, are Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, and then in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 12. Let's begin in Exodus chapter 20 tonight. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. This is Moses the first time going over the law of God, the Ten Commandments. Verse 8, we come to the commandment and it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Verse 9, 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within the gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So in Exodus chapter 20, Moses comes to the people and he says to them, the command of God is that they remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's been set apart, a day of rest, a day to cease from the labors of life. Now go over to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, Moses is again giving to the people of God the law. Let me ask you, who is he giving the law to now? Who is the law being rehearsed with now? Anybody know? Okay, this is now the generation of the children of Israel that will enter the promised land. The wilderness wanderings have taken place. One generation has died. And Moses, before he is to depart from this earth, gives to them the second law. That's what Deuteronomy is all about. It's the rehearsing of the law. And to that generation, he reminds them of their responsibility. Look at verse 12. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that the manservant and thy maidservants may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out hence through the mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. We understand that they were to keep the Sabbath because God created heaven and earth in 6 days. On the seventh day he rested. Moses now reminds them of another thought. They were once the slaves of Egypt. And God had delivered them out of Egypt's hand. And because of that, as a people, they were to keep the Sabbath day. From those two passages, we understand there are two commands in regard to the Sabbath. The first is to remember it. The second is to keep it. Israel was under obligation to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it or observe it. They were not to set it aside for any reason while they were under the covenant of God. Remember the Sabbath day. And Deuteronomy says, observe it, keep it. Don't put it aside. They were under obligation for the Sabbath day. As I thought about some of these things and did some study, the thought came up to, what were they to be remembering on the Sabbath day? Those two passages help us to be reminded again of what they were to remember and why they were to keep it set apart or sanctified. Let me just remind you of these two quickly. We've already made mention of it to some point, but let's formally state it. Exodus chapter 20 tells us that they were to remember the Sabbath day and to use it as a remembrance of their God, who was the creator of all things. They were to remember the Sabbath day. They were to keep it holy, set apart, because they were to remember God who created all things. It was to cause them to reflect and to remember their Creator. Deuteronomy 5, though, Moses reminds them that the Sabbath was also a day that they were to remember that they were once slaves in Egypt, but God now has delivered them. The Sabbath was to be a reminder. They were to cease from their labors. They were no longer to work and take one day for leisure and rest, because God had delivered them from slavery. God had set them free. He had given them their freedom. And they were to be remembering that. To remember God, their Creator, who made all things, and to remember he's the one who delivered them, who saved them, and gave them freedom. Okay? That's the Sabbath. They are called to remember the Sabbath. Now, it's interesting to note that in ancient times, the concept of a day of leisure was a foreign concept to the normal man. Leisure belonged to the wealthy. Leisure belonged to the powerful. They had their servants who would serve them, and they would have their life of ease. But the average man worked and had to work. And there was no rest from labor. They were employed to work. As the slaves in Egypt, they were required to work for Pharaoh. But God reminds them that he had delivered them and he has given to them a day of rest. Did you notice in there that the Sabbath was for all in Israel? Yourself, your sons, your daughters, and your slaves, your servants, the strangers who are with you in your house, and all of your cattle and all of your livestock is to rest. Outside of the Jews. That was a foreign concept of that day. But God reminds His people that He who created them and delivered them desires also their good. And so to His people, He says, a day of rest, once a week. Now for us, that's a normal concept. Matter of fact, we think one's not enough. We would prefer a 4-day work week and 3 days of leisure in our society today. But in a society that didn't believe in leisure for the average man, God says, all of my people will enjoy rest. So on the Sabbath, they would remember the God who made them, the God who delivered them in His goodness to them. But God also wanted to remind them that that day was created for them. I want you to turn over to Mark chapter 2 quickly tonight. Mark chapter 2. In Mark chapter 2, the Pharisees come and question the Lord concerning His disciples. They have aught against the disciples of the Lord because they had plucked some ears of corn on the Sabbath day. Notice the Lord's response in verse 27. He responds to the Pharisees and says, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." I want you to keep that thought in mind. The Sabbath, when instituted by God, was something designed for man. It was not meant to be a burden. It was meant to be a delight and a blessing. And if you study the Jewish culture, you will understand that they look toward that as a blessing, not a burden. Now, by the time you come to the Lord, the Pharisees had really kind of turned that and started to make it a burden. You can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. And they had added all these levels of restriction. And the Lord Jesus says, "But I think you've forgotten. I made the Sabbath for you, not you for the Sabbath." And Jesus said, "I, as the Son of Man, am Lord of that Sabbath." He has the right to do with it as He pleases. Okay? Some basic thoughts concerning the Sabbath. So let's answer the question. If we are to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, why do we worship on Sunday, not on Saturday? You say, how do all these things that you've already pointed out help us? First of all, understand with me, if Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, then can He not make changes to that day? Can He? Okay, He can. He's Lord of the Sabbath. So He can either say it is still under oath, a covenant, or it's been set aside. That is up to Him. He is Lord of the Sabbath, made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And He is Lord of it, so He has the right to do with it as He so pleases. Second, when we understand the Sabbath was made for man and not the other way around, I think we can conclude that when we observe the Lord's Day, we do so because God ordained it as well. And we ought to treat it in the same way. The Lord's Day, our day of worship, ought to be a day of blessing, not a day of burden. And it's sad to me when I listen to Christians sometimes, and they talk of Sunday as almost as if it's a burden to them. I have to go to church? Ugh. So much that God wants for me. Folks, it was made for us. This day that we have, this Lord's Day, this day of worship was made for us. You say, Pastor, that still doesn't help me understand why we worship on Sunday. We're getting there. Okay, but I want to give you my reasons for these things. So let's talk about the Sabbath versus Sunday. Now, I've created a little chart that I hope will help you. I wish I had time to get a little handout so you could fill it all in. But if pen and paper, you can create your own little chart. You're going to need three columns across, and you're going to need 7 down. Okay, you won't probably remember that. But you're going to be confused because you're going to see two columns across start, but I'm going to add another column later, so it is three across, okay? So let's look at the chart tonight, and let's see if we can understand, first of all, some things concerning the Sabbath, okay? First of all, I want you to understand about the Sabbath, as we've already gone through some of these things, and it's the first line there is when it was established. Okay, so that first line there should say established. The concept here that I want you to get with me is simply this. When was the Sabbath established? Under what covenant? You can put next to it, Old Covenant. The requirements of the Sabbath were placed or established upon man in the Old Covenant. Who were the recipients of that covenant? The Jews. Okay? So we have the Sabbath established in the Old Covenant. The recipients are the Jews. Who's the one that gave the promise or was the grantor of that covenant? Which member of the Godhead would we kind of associate the Old Covenant with? God the Father. Okay? Understandably, when you study through your Old Testament, the key character, the member of the Godhead, is God the Father. Okay? Now, there's some, we can see some viewpoints of the Trinity, but in essence, we understood God, and we understand it as God the Father. Okay? He is the grantor of this covenant. What is the key trait of God the Father under the Old Covenant? What is this key character trait? If you study really through your Old Testament, one thing kind of stands out about God. He is holy. You cannot study through your Old Testament and not come to the conclusion that God is holy. And one of the key passages for that is Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim, each having 6 wings. With twain he covered his feet, with twain he covered his face, and with twain he did cry. And they cried out and said, "Holy, holy, holy." You read your Old Testament and you find a holy God. How can we approach unto him? Another verse that comes to mind is Habakkuk 1:13. Thou art of purer eyes to behold evil. Thou cannot look upon iniquity. You read your Old Testament, you find a holy God. All of that is to point us to a concept about God that we see over and over again in the Old Testament. And that's the concept of his glory. Remember the Israelites? How did God reveal himself to them in the wilderness? Through his Shekinah glory. Pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. When the tabernacle and the temple were dedicated, the glory of the Lord rested upon it, and no one could enter in. When God was done with Israel, what did Ezekiel see depart from the temple? He saw the glory of God depart. So under this old covenant, where the Sabbath was established with the Jews, we have God the Father in holiness and in all of his glory. What was the purpose then again for the Sabbath in this covenant? primarily that they would remember the work of God in creation. This holy God filled with glory, who had chosen them to be his people. That covenant was precious to them. And it should have been more precious to them than it was in the end. But that's the Sabbath. Let's talk about what Sunday's all about. We're coming to the conclusion. I'm going to wrap this up for you, I promise. Under the Sabbath, we looked at that which was established. The Sabbath was established to the old covenant. Sunday was established under which covenant? The new covenant. Okay, we have an Old Testament, New Testament. It's under this new covenant, and we're going to talk about what that covenant's all about in just a minute, that we really began to worship on Sunday and not Saturday. The recipients of the Old Covenant are the Jews. Who's the recipients of the New Covenant? Jews and Gentiles. It's to the whole world. The New Covenant's established to the world, Jew and Gentile alike. That's the great mystery of the church. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Whoa! That's a new concept in the New Covenant. Really is. So the church is now for all mankind. The grantor of the Old Covenant, we said, was God the Father. He's really the grantor of the new. God the Son, Jesus Christ. It's by His blood we were redeemed. It's through His death and His resurrection that all mankind are brought to a place of reconciliation with God. Man is a sinner who cannot approach into a holy God. Jesus Christ, by His sacrifice, makes it possible for us to be restored, to be reconciled, to be saved. It's the new covenant. What's the key trait of the Old Testament? Holiness. What's the key trait of the new? I'm going to choose the word love. Now, I know there are some people that would still argue it's the holiness of God. And folks, we can never take away from the fact that when we talk about God, He is holy. Okay? But when I come to the New Testament, the trait of God's love takes center stage. Say, Pastor, where do you see that at? I look at the writings of the aged apostle John. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8 clearly states it. He that loveth not knoweth not God. Why? God is equals love. Center stage is His love. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You read through your New Testament, you read through the epistles, and you see the love of God. What concept is God teaching us about Himself now? Before it was His glory. You already had the other word. Grace. God is revealing to us His wonderful grace. In holiness, we see the glory of God. Through His love, we see His grace. His unmerited favor to us. So when we gather on Sunday, what's our purpose? Under the old covenant, it was remember really the works of God in creation. What do you think we're remembering when we gather on Sunday? The work of Christ in redemption. That's why we meet. Why we worship, because we're the redeemed of the Lord, and we say, blessed be His name. The grace of our God. You say, Pastor, that still doesn't answer why Sunday. So I'm going to answer that for you. Why then do I worship on Sunday? Before I answer that, let me just point something out that I think is interesting. You look at that chart, if you wrote it down. You have the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. What was the purpose of the Old Covenant for us to remember? The work of God in creation. What's it under the New? The work of Christ in redemption. Do you realize that those two things are blended together beautifully in days to come? In eternity? Ready? Revelation chapter 4. Turn there real quick. Those two key concepts of the old and the new are going to perfectly blend one day when we all get to glory. Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5. In Revelation chapter 4, we are brought to the scene of heaven. John is now in heaven in days to come. And God begins to reveal to him what is to come. Look at chapter 4 and look at verse 11. As the saints praise God, what do they say? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast... what's the next word? Created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. The scene continues, and you come into chapter 5. And in chapter 5, the saints begin to sing a song in verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. They're blessing him for his redemption. Beautifully blended together. You say, Pastor, I still don't understand why I choose Sunday. Here's my answer to you. I worship on Sunday because I am a child of God of the new covenant, made a part of the family of God by the loving sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And like the early church, I gather on the day of our Savior arose from the grave, proving he had conquered sin and death and secured me the victory. So I worship on Sunday to remember Christ's gracious work of redemption for me. Follow me in that logic? Now, I could have gone to you and said, I worship on Sunday because that's what the early church did and that's what I do. That's one of the reasons. But I think there's a whole lot more to it. Folks, I understand that I'm part of a new covenant. And in that new covenant, the love of God is known and is to be shared and to be shown to this world. Because the grace of God has been revealed through Christ. And I have been made a child of God in that covenant. And I gather on the first day of the week because on that day my Savior rose. And he conquered sin and he conquered death. And I was given the victory through him. So the early church, I believe, really under the direction of our Lord, who is Lord of the Sabbath and Lord of his day, began to worship on Sunday as members of the new covenant with a new purpose. Not just to thank him for his holiness and his glory, and we ought to thank him for those, but to add to it now the wonderful work of redemption. So in this new covenant, we have a new purpose to remember the work of Christ in bringing redemption to all mankind. That's why I worship on Sunday. Now, I hope that answers your question. That may bring up a slew of other questions to you. I don't know. But I was asked to answer why we worship on Sunday. Why wouldn't I become a Seventh-day Baptist? Because I understand what took place in both covenants. By the way, God's not done with that old covenant yet, because he has a very specific purpose for Israel still. We don't become spiritual Israel. Okay? The new covenant doesn't just wash away the old. That old covenant's there. Okay? And it's to the Jews. But he's given a new covenant to me, a Gentile, a member of the family of God. By the way, one day that'll come to its end. And one day the old will come to its end. And they're all going to blend beautifully in glory someday under the very same person, our God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the triune Holy God whom we worship. Fair enough? Hope I answered your question tonight. And if I didn't and you have more, jot them down and send them along to me. It's 8 o'clock. If you have questions for me after the fact by this, feel free to come up and see me. But I'm going to go ahead and close us out now in a word of prayer. Let's close our time, please.